Hello, it's Monday, the 26th of February in the year of our Lord, 2024. We're back with another interview show. And I am so chuffed to introduce all the new listeners to somebody who was one of my first guests when I started radio shows. And Catherine's been speaking to her. In fact, say hello, Catherine, before we introduce our guest. Sorry, I know you're so excited as well to speak to this incredible woman.
I am indeed. I am indeed. I'm really, really excited because I've actually read both or two of Christina's books, and they are really, really, really important reads. Really important reads, guys. So I'm really looking forward to this. Thank you so much, Christina, for coming on.
Yeah,
That's
so
okay.
Christina England. Christina, I can't, I don't know who we met via, maybe Ian Crane. We met somewhere anyway. And you came on the show 13, 14 years ago. And we're back again. You were regular, and then we both had breaks, etc. And here we are. So it's the wonderful Christina England. Hello, welcome
Hello,
back.
and thank you for having me on.
That's all right, darling. I think for the benefit of the new listeners, let's go back. Let's tell your story and how, just tell your story and, why you're here and what you're doing now and all your research on vaccines.
Right, oh, it's a long story. Right, to begin with, I was like most people, believed in vaccines, although I started to become suspicious when I was working at the hospital as an auxiliary nurse in a respite unit for disabled children. And I started to get a bit suspicious because I met a few parents that said their children had been vaccine injured. And it was around about the whooping cough vaccine. I'm sure you'll remember the whooping cough vaccine that was in the news a lot. It was in the 80s. It was when the whooping cough vaccine first came out, and there was lots of injuries. People were saying that the children were injured with the whooping cough. And that's how I sort of came in and started thinking, well, maybe I don't believe in vaccines as much as I thought I did. Well, I decided after working with the children on the respite unit and meeting so many children that needed parents and that had been given up for being disabled, which sounds awful, but they are. They're given up because the parents don't feel they can cope with them and don't feel that they want them anymore. And I was finding that a lot of children were up for adoption, and it was such a shame. And I met some lovely children, and then I met a lady because I always thought that you had to have two people to adopt a child. I thought you had to have a mum and a dad, and it was in that kind of era where there should have been a mum and a dad. But I did meet a lady on the unit who had adopted a young girl who was very severely disabled, and she was a single mum. And having had parents that have always been foster parents, as well as having my brother and I, we always grew up with loads of foster children and that. And it was lovely. It was lovely growing up with the foster children and hearing their stories and getting to know the children. And because we were the same age as the children, we got to know them as friends. So it was a really nice atmosphere. And I realised a lot of children were less fortunate than myself and that didn't have families. And I started to think, well, maybe I'd like to do that because I hadn't really met the right person. I'd had relationships, but I never really met anybody I wanted to settle down with and have children with. So, to cut a long story short, I decided that that's what I wanted to do. And I sat my mum down one day and I said, well, sit down. I think you need to sit down to hear this. I said, I'm going to adopt a disabled child as a single person. And my mum said, oh, I expected you to do something like that. She said it was always on the cards. So she said, yes, okay, if that's what you want to do, go ahead and do it. Well, that's easier said than done. But eventually I did adopt two beautiful little boys. They were older boys. They were boys that desperately needed homes. One was three and one was four. I adopted the four-year-old first. And after 6 years, I waited and I adopted another one later on. Both had severe special needs. Both classed as globally developmentally delayed, which is a cover up for autism, I now know. But they were globally developmentally delayed. Anyway, I took them on, and Daniel, the older one, he kept being very poorly. He'd had the MMR in foster care and he'd had the second MMR in foster care. But what I didn't know was that, well, I hadn't really looked at the foster carer diaries. I'd looked at all the paperwork, obviously, but I didn't look at the foster carer diaries. And in there, it actually stated that he'd become very sick after the MMR, the second one, and he had lots of diarrhea and sickness and lots of tummy problems. And I think that's probably around about the time we met, actually, Lou. I think we met in Harley Street, but I'm not absolutely sure.
Yeah, it was London, I know that.
Well, I kept taking him into the hospital. I kept taking him to the doctors and saying, "There's something wrong with this little boy. I don't know what it is." He'd been diagnosed with having mild ataxic cerebral palsy, speech and language delay, and other problems. It's really sort of lots of umbrella terms. Anyway, he kept being very, very poorly, but they couldn't find anything wrong. And so they decided that it was me, that I was making up these things to get attention. The wonderful Munchausen syndrome by prop all thanks to Meadow, Rory Meadow. Anyway, I got accused of having Munchausen syndrome by proxy. Both children were put on the risk register and everything was in question. They said I put hearing aids on my little one to make him look more disabled. Where I'd have got hearing aids from, don't ask me, because you can't buy them in the chemist. Not well, you couldn't at those days anyway. But yeah, I got hearing he'd got hearing aids, and then it was the dentist, and the dentist had said they didn't want to work on Nicky's teeth unless he was put out and under a general anaesthetic. The social worker said, "No, this is not true, you're making it up." And I had to get the dentist in the end to write a letter, that kind of shut them up a bit. And then the hearing specialist, I went to him in floods of tears and saying, "Why aren't you backing me up? You gave me the hearing aid. You told me he was disabled. You told me he had hearing problems." And he said, "He's nearly deaf. And what are they talking about? And I don't know anything about this." And of course, he wrote a really strong letter to them, and they dropped that. And then it was the asthma. It was one thing after another. And I was having to prove myself, prove myself, prove myself all the time.
Yeah.
And in the end, the social worker in charge of the case said, "Well, we've decided to drop everything. What you've been saying is absolutely true, Christina. We didn't read the notes properly. We didn't read the records properly. We should have gone into all the paperwork. We haven't read them properly, and mistakes were made. However," he said, and this was a fatal thing he said, "however, if you ever go to the media and tell your story," he said, "woe betide you, and you'll lose your children." So I said, "Are you threatening me?" And he said, "No, Miss England, I'm just giving you a gentle warning." So I left there, and I thought about it for years. And the kids were getting older, and as they grew up and they grew into sort of early adulthood, sort of 18, 19, I thought, well, he told me not to go to the media. He didn't tell me not to become the media. So I decided to train as a journalist, and the rest is history, because I started looking in deeply into the vaccines and false accusations of child abuse. However, on the way, I'd actually met, during my case, I'd actually met a wonderful woman called Lisa Blakemore Brown. And she was very, very, well, she was my mentor, really. She told me everything I really knew about vaccines and about the false accusations. And if it hadn't been for her, I wouldn't have my children today. Her work is priceless. You couldn't put a price on her work. She's just an amazing woman. She did amazing, amazing work. They've absolutely tried to finish her off, professionally. It was a professional assassination, that's what I always call it. She had a terrible time, and was accused of all sorts of things, including being completely and utterly mad. However, I started researching because of her, and it was only because of her. And I was researching everything she told me. And I learned about a guy called Professor Roy Meadow. Now, he was the one that actually coined the phrase Munchausen syndrome by proxy. And he did this because he believed that mothers were actually injuring their children to get attention. And in particular, salt poisoning. He had a big thing about salt poisoning. And he had a case where the child kept coming back very sick, very ill, and he said tended to have a lot of salt in the blood. Instead of looking for other alternatives, which there were, in the book I wrote, I've got papers after papers after papers of all different alternatives. But this guy, and he should have known there was an alternative, but he decided he was going to accuse this mother. And to prove that he wanted to know how she was managing to feed this child salt. So they tested by giving the child 20 grams of salt. Now, he's actually admitted this in his paper, and his paper is called The Hinterlands of Child Abuse. You will find it on the internet. Anyway, if you can't find it on the internet, it's in my book. I've got the paper. So, and doing this, the child died. Now, whether he killed the child or whether the child just unfortunately died, or the mother did feed him salt, I don't know. That's what he thought it was. I'm more inclined to believe that he had something to do with the death, because you can't just go around, feeding children salt. Anyway, that's how he coined the phrase, and he said the mother was poisoning her child with
So he
salt.
went and poisoned. So he then went and gave that same child the amount of
Yes.
salt that he was
20
accused of.
grams, yes, it's in the paper.
Oh my goodness.
So by doing that's how he got the phrase. But the thing was that around about that was in 1977. Now in 1988, now this is how Lisa got me interested in all this, because she gave me four papers, and these were the JCVI, which is a Joint Committee of Vaccination and Immunization, their minutes of their meetings. And in these four papers, now they were papers were 1988, 1919, 19, well, basically they were 1988 till 1991. And they were minutes of the meeting. And in the meetings was Sir Roy Meadow speaking about vaccines. And I mean, any doctor can be in these meetings, but it was just weird that he came in 1988 and he went out in 1991. Now, if anybody actually knows anything about vaccines, the MMR came in, the first one with the rabies strain of mumps in that was doing all the damage, came in 1988, called Placerex. It had already been banned in three, I think three countries banned it, I'm not sure, no, two, Japan and Canada. They'd banned it because, and it was called Trivirix. And it was banned. And then they brought it into the UK, called it Placerex, so they changed the name, but it was the same vaccine with the rabies strain of mumps in it. And then they brought this man into the meetings that was the sort of coined the phrase Munchausen syndrome by proxy. And he was only in during the years that the MMR was in. And when the MMR was banned, well, it was suspended over here, and then it wasn't banned because it gave the green light to give it to other children in other countries. If it had been banned, that couldn't have happened. So they suspended it. They suspended the license. So it could still be sold on and given to children in the developing countries. And this is all in my book, and it all explains it all. When we got the papers from Lisa could only get the unredacted one, the redacted papers. That means that all what he was saying was actually redacted. You couldn't see it. It was just all blacked over. However, while I was sort of doing the vaccines and researching as much as I was, I met a lady who had the unredacted papers. So she had exactly what everybody said in all these meetings. And it was very surprising what he did say about the vaccines and about, all kinds of things. But we actually got the papers for from now there were gov the government paper that stated that they were going to give bring that into the country in 1988, and how many doses they ordered. But at the same time, they ordered it for the soldiers that were going to the Gulf War. And then they said in paperwork, and I've got the actual papers in the back of the book as appendix, that they were suspend all the animal studies on the vaccine. They would just add it to the soldiers' vaccines and use them as the tests instead of the animals. So the soldiers were actually being tested. And
Wow.
at the time, it was the Gulf War, and they all came back with, well, majority came back with Gulf War syndrome.
Wow.
So that is all the sort of background. And that's how I got into it. I would never have got into it as deeply as I did. And I've been studying it ever since. The book, I actually, my first really, well, no, it was the second book. The first book was Shaken Baby Syndrome on that. And I just, 5-in-1 vaccine, and I was working with a scientist at the time and a doctor. The second book was called The Vaccine Policy and the UK Government, The Untold Truth. And this book was, I actually researched it for 15 years, and it took 5 years to write. Well, actually, no, it was 10 years of research, 5 years to write, so it was 15 years in all.
And
And
I
so it
read
is very, very, very well researched, and you can't fault anything because they're government papers and they were freedom of information.
well, I actually ironically enough, Christina, when I started my journey, I was pregnant with my daughter, so it was nearly 14 years ago, and the first ever thing I saw was a shaken baby syndrome when it was Vaccine Nation with Alan Yerkel in America. I was
Yes.
actually pregnant when I watched that.
Wow, were you?
And
God, that's tragic. That is. That's.
yeah, it was really, because I would have done it. I know I would have done it, you know. And thankfully, my daughter is 14 in July, and she's unvaccinated. And the last time she's seen any doctor of any kind is when she was 10 months old. She's never sick, you know. She's never sick. I was so grateful. But I remember, you know, about 20 minutes, and I knew nothing at the time. But about 20 minutes into that documentary, I burst out crying. All right, I know I was 5 months pregnant at the time as well, but I just knew that something was seriously wrong. And that's when I took my journey. So, you know, when we came across a case a few weeks ago then, and this shaken baby syndrome style, you know, injury has come up again. This is obviously when we contacted you. I contacted you through Lou, which I'm so grateful for. And I bought both of your books, and I read them both. And I was just remembering back to that first time when I researched, because obviously I just researched all the vaccines, then I researched the whole industry. And I've seen some of that, you know, the unredacted stuff that you wrote in this book in the vaccine policy. I've seen that when I've been doing my research, but only bits and pieces. So I just realized you said you've got the full papers. Am I able to have a read of those if you
Oh,
don't mind?
absolutely, yeah.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And it just took me right back. I was actually really quite emotional reading those books, and I did put a status up saying, look, guys, you know, this is a really, really, especially now. Because I only researched the vaccine industry. So I was researching that so much, I didn't realize the connection between Munchausen's by proxy and social services and what they were doing. And then it made me even more emotional because I realized the magnitude of this. And the reason we don't know about this is because the family court system is corrupt. So I
Oh,
bought a book
absolutely corrupt, yeah.
called The Gulag of the Family Courts by Jack Frost. I've almost finished it now, and a lot about Roy Meadows and David Southall was in that this
David Southall,
well.
yes, that's the other one I've written about.
Yeah. So it was reading this book then and making that connection. I was thinking, wow, because you know, we still know that although people are waking up to vaccination and you know the dangers of them, there are still millions and millions of babies out there being vaccinated and damaged. And when you see that connection of what they tried to do to you and what they have succeeded with many, many others, it's actually really frightening. So I would highly recommend this book. It's called Vaccination Policy and the UK Government, The Untold Truth,
Yes,
written
it's on
by
Amazon.
Christina.
You can buy it on
Yeah,
Amazon
I think
UK
I
and
can't remember.
Amazon.
I'll put a link to it, Christina,
Yeah.
in
Okay,
the
thank you, Lena.
The first one was really good as well, Christina Shaken.
That's shaken baby syndrome or vaccine-induced encephalitis. Our
That's
parents for
it,
being
yeah.
falsely accused. Yeah, I wrote that, and the gentleman that I wrote it with, Dr. Harold Bertram, he actually worked on the Alan Yuko case.
He did.
He
He
was one
did
of the
because I looked.
doctors. Yeah,
Yeah, he
so I
passed
worked with
away.
him, and he asked me to do the 5-in-1 vaccine. And what I did was I broke the vaccine down into the five vaccines, and then kind of explained what the sort of catastrophic things that were happening because they'd put all these into one thing, one
Yeah.
vaccine. So
It's
the
a
five
six in one
vaccines,
now as well, isn't it? It's a six in
yeah, it was
one
a
that
six in one now, yeah.
Infanrix Hexa, and I knew that was coming as well.
I worked on a case for helped a family that their baby died, unfortunately, after he was vaccinated with 13 vaccines in one day.
Oh no, what? And
It was
it's
a
just.
little boy, yeah. It was so sad, and he died, and the parents were accused of shaken baby syndrome.
It's
But
happening too much.
yeah, I
It's
mean,
happening too much.
we did win that one. There are a few cases I've won where I've worked on them. I haven't actually won them myself, but as much as I've given them the right doctors to go to, the right specialists to go to, the right people to get in contact with, and they've won it because of the work that I've done, the papers I've shared with them. And yeah, and recently I was very, very, very proud of this. There was a gentleman, I can't say his name, so I'm not allowed, but for legal reasons, but he was a US case, and it was a man that had been jailed for life without parole for killing his little girl after a vaccine injury had occurred. And the reason it was won was because during the paperwork, while I was reading all the paperwork, and I'm not joking, there were boxes of paperwork to read, I came across some scans, but they had a different baby's name on them. And I said, "What was your baby's name?" And she said, "Well, it was the little girl was called." And I said, "Right. Well, I said, you've been convicted on scans that don't even belong to you then."
Wow.
And so he'd actually been convicted. But not only that, the hospital was saying that the baby was perfectly healthy before he came into the year before he'd been with the father. And in fact, the baby had been reported to the GP as being unhealthy when it was given the vaccines. It was very poorly when it was given the vaccines. And she actually, was quite a poorly baby, but they gave her the vaccines anyway. And of course, when she was being looked after by the father, fortunately, had recorded that the mother had said that the baby was poorly. So when they said it was a perfectly healthy baby at the hospital, I said, no, it's not a healthy, perfectly healthy baby. And they actually asked me to go and give evidence over in the States. But I said, well, I don't think it would be appropriate because I'm only a journalist. And even though I found the evidence in that, so they said, well, in that case, would you write a report? And I said, well, I don't know how to write a report. I've never written one, but I'll give it a go. And I did write a report. I had to get it wax sealed by a public a notary public notary
Yeah,
public
yeah,
yeah
yeah.
it was a special lawyer, and I did get the wax seal, and it went over to America. It was entered into the case. They dropped the charges at that time from first degree murder to second degree murder, and now he's been completely released from jail, and the whole thing's been quashed, and it's been proven that he didn't kill the baby at all. The baby was ill.
God
The baby had a
bless.
genetic problem, and it was thanks to the doctors that I got on board that proved the case.
You've been extremely helpful with me as well, Christina. Honestly,
Thank you.
God bless you because I've been into it for 14 years. You've been into it for 25, and you've written some incredible books, and you've obviously done some incredible work. And I know how
She's the
much
best.
they don't
She
like
is the best. Like, she really is. She's the only
I
one
just
I go to with that.
appreciate
Nobody else.
everyone that you. Do you know what I mean? I just appreciate everything that you've done.
Thank
And
you.
continue to do, and I'm just really grateful. I really, really am.
because I looked at the one side of it, didn't see the corruption. I did see the corruption within the vaccine industry, didn't make the connection with social services, and you've obviously been working on both of those
Well, I
things.
wanted to A prove my case as innocent. But what I did was I explained in the book, I did four chapters, and the other half was written by a scientist, Lucia
Yeah,
Tomajenovic.
that's
She
I
was
couldn't
using the
pronounce
same
your name.
papers. She was using the same papers, but in a different way.
Yeah.
And that's how we came together. We met at a conference. But I was speaking on Munchausen syndrome by proxy, but I was talking about the same papers, and she was talking about the same paper. I mean, we were both at the conference mentioning the same papers, but from different angles.
Yeah.
And so that's how we came together to write the book. But I decided to go explain what Munchausen syndrome by proxy was, explain who was behind it, explain all the different. Well, I did another chapter where I was joining the dots and bringing in professors. David Southall as well, bringing him in. So there we got. Then we got the two together. Then I explained about the meetings and what they were saying in the meetings and what Professor Meadow was saying in the meetings. This is now Sir Roy Meadow, because
Yeah, I
one
did a
was
lot of
knighted and one
research
was given the
on
CBE for their work.
it.
It's nice when you think about, really, it's vaccine injury that's behind it. They got
Yeah.
their accolades through that, but never mind. And then I went on to explain about the Gulf War syndromes and where the link was there, and with the soldiers and everything, and getting personal interviews with the soldiers and that kind of thing. And I used a lot of Freedom of Information papers to get through that. So I had some help, because I had a friend who was helping me that knew a lot of Gulf War soldiers, so that helped as well. And she knew an awful lot, so I worked alongside her for a lot of it. But then also I decided at the end, the last chapter was really explaining my case and how I was accused, and how that all the links linked up, and how all the people linked up. And it was incredible. And I wanted to prove that I was innocent. And I was innocent. I was innocent. And sadly, my son's died now, Daniel. He died in November. And it was found that he had, because a lot of it was over the cerebral palsy. Did he have cerebral palsy? Didn't he have cerebral palsy? Did I want to make it up to get attention? All that. I don't know where I was getting this attention from, because I didn't notice it, but there you go. But
No, thank you.
yeah, I mean, it was just very hard. And he actually died of a mass in his brain, which he'd had there since birth. So that could have been accounted for all the learning problems, the autism, everything could have been counted back to that.
Yeah.
So, well, he sadly died of this, because it bled twice
Oh,
in his
bless
brain. And
him.
the second bleed, it was catastrophic and it killed him.
I'm
So
so sorry, Christina. So
it's
sorry.
okay. It's very hard. It makes me so cross that I went through all of that with all the accusations and everything else, and there was something wrong with him all the time, and something that nobody had looked at, the brain. I mean, we'd had CAT scans, but not the MRI. If we'd have had the MRI, we'd have found it.
This is the thing. I was trying to blame you rather than look for the actual cause. Is
Yeah.
just to cover up vaccine
That's it.
injury.
And he had been vaccine injured. And I actually met Andrew Wakefield. Actually, I met him on several occasions, but I met him at the first conference I did when I was speaking at Munchausen's. And I did a film. I can't find the film, sadly, but I know it's on one of my computers, so I will find it. And it was about all the different cases I'd worked, and about all the background and the case. And it was all about the different children, and I did it to a piece of music by Jem. I'm sorry.
I know
Do you
it.
know it? I'm sorry, so
Yeah.
sorry. Yeah. Well, that one, and I did that, and I had a room of 80 professionals in tears. They were all really high up leading professionals. Andrew Wakefield was one of them. Lucia Tomajenovic was another. And it was the first conference I'd ever given, and I
Wow.
explained about my case, put all my papers up on a screen, and showed where the errors were being made and how people like myself were being falsely accused. And at the time, I'd only just written the book, so the book was being sold at the same time. And we did sell a lot of books that day. And Dr. Jane Donegan was there, and we all know Jane Donegan,
Oh,
lovely
wow.
Jane Donegan. And she was waving one of my books in the background and saying, I've got it already.
Oh, that's amazing. Jane Donegan was one of the first ones I came across as well in my
Oh,
research.
she's a wonderful lady. Yeah, I've met her
I
loads and loads and
actually
loads of
did a.
times. She actually spoke at the conference I did a couple of years ago, because I actually put on a conference in London on the HPV vaccine, and she was one of the
Oh,
speakers.
fantastic.
So
Can
was
I just
Brandy Ball, sadly,
ask?
because
I just.
Brandy Ball's died now.
Oh, she's died, yeah, a few years ago, wasn't it, Brandy Vaughan?
I just want to jump in just on this Munchausen's by proxy. I've seen in the media recently this girl, Gypsy is her name, I think, who killed her mother. But her mother was trying to keep her a child for years and did extremely horrible things. Do you know, have you seen about this girl? Gypsy Rose, I think her name is.
Oh, yeah.
No, don't think
They
I've seen that one.
in
Yeah,
America.
I think
Well,
I've seen something on it.
apparently, like she was put in prison, right, for the torture and murder of the mother. And then she explained her story. She was very late developmental and everything. She didn't properly have to be toilet trained because her mother kept her like dressed. It's really, it's sick. But she was let, she was released. And now she's gone on. There's suspect, there's something not right, but now she's suddenly announced that she's pregnant, gonna have a baby of her own. And now there's all this back and forth. You know, could she turn into somebody like her mother? You know, what happens to victims who've been harmed by someone, for instance, who's had this Munchausen's by proxy?
You see, the thing was, I one of my conferences I started off, I said, murder is murder, poisoning is poisoning, attempted murder is attempted murder. There shouldn't be any fancy words around it. There shouldn't be any fancy syndromes or names. And this is where the confusion's coming, because this one's being put in to accuse, falsely accuse parents of harming their children after vaccine injuries. It's that's why they're called syndromes, you see, because there's just a collection of if you think of it, a syndrome is a collection of symptoms that usually appear to in cases of that. So shaken baby syndrome is that they see the bleeds on the brain and behind the eye, and that's what they're called. But a syndrome isn't really a disease.
No, it's an
It's
umbrella term, isn't it, for
just
symptoms?
a theory.
Yeah.
It's not a proven theory, it's just a theory. And that's the same with Munchausen syndrome by proxy. It's a syndrome.
And I did see as well, Christina, like that with, you know, Dr. Roy Meadows, because he coined the term, like you say, in 1977, and there was a list of what like, you know, behaviors from parents that
Oh, yeah.
he deems.
Yeah, I've got that paper. There's the ABC of child abuse. It's in there. It's all the different symptoms that go to prove these mothers. You know, but the one of his papers that he's written is about epilepsy, and how mothers are making up epilepsy to get people's the attention of the doctors, the medical profession.
Unbelievable, isn't
The
it?
thing is that if you've got a mother at home with a baby, and the baby starts to fit, the mother is the only one that's actually witnessing this.
Exactly,
So
exactly.
how can you say that it's false allegations? And because the mother will be the only one that's witnessing it. And a baby can't fit to order. You can't
Exactly,
take a
sitting
child
on
into hospital
demand.
and have an ECG or an EEG. No, it's EEG, isn't it? EEG, and expect the baby to have a fit just when this machine's on. Now, if
Exactly.
I'm anything to go by, because I'm epileptic, if I'm anything to go by, I've had it, and it was clear. Took the machine off and fitted then and there, but it wasn't on record, you see, because it wasn't on the machine. But I had a fit after the machine was taken off. It was only a petit mal, but it was quite a long one. But so you can't fit to order, and this is what these doctors don't understand. And the mother is going to be the one that's going to see the baby have
It's
these
common
fits.
sense, Christina, isn't it? That's
It
common
is, it's
sense.
all common sense. And I've actually
It
written
is,
about the two papers in my book. I've explained all about the papers and how, that any mother could be accused of this. Any one of you walking around today, any mother.
exactly, and that's what I
Because,
thought when I read the list of his
if
of
a baby's going to
Aaron.
be ill, if a child's going to be ill, it's usually going to be with the mother.
Yeah, exactly.
And they've just covered this really very poorly, but they've just covered it in Coronation Street with
Yeah.
Fizz and Tyrone. Oh no, it wasn't that. It wasn't Fizz and Tyrone. It was the other one, wasn't it? It was oh, Gemma, I think.
Oh,
And
I
she's
don't.
got
Well,
five
what are
children
they
and one of
saying
her
on there? I'm
children.
just wondering what the program in it. What are they saying on there, Christina?
Well, they were set Coronation Street was. They were saying that she kept presenting this little boy to the hospital sick, and it was one of her children. She's got five. She's got four that were born together, quads, and a little boy in the program, and
Right.
her name is Gemma, and she kept taking the oldest one to the hospital, and they kept saying no, they've had all the tests, and in the end they accused her of Munchausen syndrome by proxy, and it was false accusations. She had to live separately to the husband, and they had to, all the children had to be taken into care and everything else. It was a proper case, like it was made out to be a proper case of false accusations, and it turned out that he had Lyme's disease.
Oh, that's interesting that
That's
they would.
really interesting that they
Very
would
interesting.
be.
I don't watch them. Yeah,
I
that's
don't, yeah,
interesting.
but
I
so
don't
it's
watch any of
interesting that it
that.
should be portrayed in the soaps.
Yes, I mean it always is, but it's just I didn't realise that because I don't watch them. I only heard about it. Nobody's mentioned it, but that is interesting. Now you've said that, very especially because of what's going on.
Yeah,
You know, I mean it's
exactly.
always gone on, but it's sort of. You know, coming out in the open, and people, that's why people need to go and read these two books. They really, really do. And then once you've read them, pass them to a friend and just keep, or just buy them, actually get them, buy them, get it around as much as possible because people need to
The book is
understand you
only
are
it's only
right.
10.99. It's not that expensive,
Oh,
and you
it's
can
not
get
expensive.
now you can get secondhand ones now online as well, so you only
Yeah,
have to pay
it's
a
not
few pounds for
expensive. It's
them.
just a read that everybody needs to read because they don't understand the. By blindly following the vaccine schedule is, but it is in many cases and has in many cases ended up with social services being involved, guys. Right? This is serious.
I
This is
mean, I
really
read some
serious.
interesting statistics. I'll just get them up because I've got them here because I kept them up because I was looking. 24 out of every 100,000 hospital admissions for babies are due to abusive head injuries or head trauma. 200 children are killed or hurt annually in the UK. These figures are likely to be underestimated. The real numbers involved, 70% of abusive head trauma is known to be caused by the male carer.
Wow.
And that was just by putting statistics, UK cases of shaken baby
That
syndrome.
is
And I looked
frightening.
at another one that actually said that in the US, the figures are more likely to be 1,500 babies a year.
Oh my goodness. This is
So
what I
these are the
mean, and these are
amounts.
ones.
These are the kind of numbers. I know that the US is vast.
Yeah.
And in the grand scale of things, it's not much. It's just the same as the 200 babies. It's not much. However, and I have another link, it says more than 200 infants in the UK were killed or injured as a result of being shaken.
No.
And this is going on. And these are the type of figures you would think, oh, well, in the UK, that's not that. It's not a lot, but really, are these people really shaking their babies to death?
No,
Really?
no,
You know,
no.
1,500 in the US are shaking their babies to death.
It's just not logical when you think of it. There was a case, and I don't know if it was in your book or another book, where it was saying they were a couple, a married couple who were being trying for you, professional couple. trying for years for a baby, and they went out of IVF, and finally they were so excited for the baby. And the baby was obviously vaccine injured, and they blamed the father, say. And then when you think a bit logical, why did they go through all that, this couple, just for him to shake the baby randomly out of the blue? Because he'd never, you know, he absolutely adored that baby. And apply that to everyone else. But just one, I wanted to ask you, Christine, and this has been playing on my mind because I remember this story, but obviously this was before I knew about it. What do you think about Louise Woodward, the au pair in America? Didn't she get done, and she actually got sent to jail for shaking the baby then when she was looking after the infant?
Sorry, who was that?
Louise Woodward?
It's Letitia, isn't it?
No. This was years ago. Louise something, I'm sure, is Louise Woodward, and she was an au pair.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, the baby.
I remember her.
Yeah, and they made a big thing out of it in the media, and I remember.
Oh, I know. It was terrible. That poor girl, what she went through. She ended up in jail, didn't she?
Yeah, and she was the babysitter, wasn't she? And I just, now all of these cases are just flying back. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And you just think, wow. Even cases in my own personal life, friends that I know, when they're talking about things that happened when they, do you know what I mean? I'm like, wow, it is textbook. Mm. And because it happens in the family courts, guys, you're not going to hear about most of the cases unless they've been to the criminal courts, because the family courts are completely secret.
Yeah, they are completely corrupt. I mean, I've been in cases, I've been into court cases just to observe or back at helping to support people. Now they don't let me in, but to begin with, nobody knew who I was, so it was fine. And I used to go in and you know, with the cases and the ones that I was supporting, we did win quite a few cases. One of which we always giggle about is it was one quite local to me. And we did win the child had, when we went into court, they were so certain they were going to win, absolutely so certain they were going to win this. And they had the new adoptive parents with a new baby's pram and everything downstairs waiting to take the baby off, you know, because it was going to be adopted. And we won the case. We managed to get the paperwork, we managed to get the doctors on board, we managed to get everything, and of course the doctors gave evidence, and they were absolutely, they didn't have a case to stand, they didn't have anything there, they couldn't prove that this parents had done anything to this child. And they were really lovely parents, and the baby was adorable. And he's about six or seven now. It was quite a way back. But, yeah, it was a case local to me.
That they're actually good, that, you know, that cases get won. You know,
it's nice to know that people can win cases. Yeah,
exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. It is nice to know. Exactly. I mean, we have lost an awful lot that we've been involved with. I used to work with somebody called Gary, and he did a lot of my technical stuff for me. I know Lou knows Gary, well, knew him. He died in 2018, really a great loss, because he was such a help to me. And he could have got me into this meeting much quicker than I did it on my own. But he's probably sitting up there laughing. But, yeah, he used to work with me and alongside me, and used to come with me when I was talking.
I think it was lectures. Him. I think it was Gary. I think it might have been at an Ian Crane event.
Yes.
Gary and I were talking, and then he introduced the two of us. I'm sure of that.
Yes, I've actually got that interview. I have got that interview, I think. Somewhere. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I'll have to, you'll have to send it over if you find it. Gosh, all those years.
No, I mean, I've worked with so many people over the years.
And what are you up to now then?
I don't do so much as I did now. I don't, because I've been doing quite a few radio shows recently, funny enough, but I am still writing. I came out of it a lot when COVID was on, because I felt that everybody was writing the same stuff and you're just reading the same things all the time. A lot of the research is very hard to find now because of the way Google and everything is hiding everything. So whereas it used to be fairly easy to find things, it's not so easy now, which I'm sure people are very pleased with themselves. But you can find it actually. You can find a lot more of my work if you use other servers like Dogpile. That's a very good one, and you can find most of my work on that one. But if you try to find papers that I've done on Google, you'll never find it in a million years. They've hidden everything. They've also taken down interviews. One of the ones I did recently was, well, I say recently, it was in 2018. It was with Professor Christopher Exley, aluminium.
Oh, from
And
Steel University, the
yeah, well,
aluminium
he's
box.
fantastic. Well,
He is.
I did that interview with him, and that was on his website, and it was on YouTube and everything else. It's all been removed now. So
Oh.
Christopher got hold of me and said, have you still got the interview? And I said, oh, somewhere. And I found it, gave it to him. So we've still got the interview, and we're still giving it out to people that want it.
Oh, I'd love to see that. I'd love it because I looked into Chris Exley a lot when I was doing
Oh, he's
research on
wonderful, absolutely fantastic. And it was a very, very revealing interview.
And he had
It's
problems,
very
didn't he,
rare
with
that I
Steel
actually, he's the
University?
only real person. I think I've done three interviews ever, and he was one of them.
Is he? Because I know at one point a few years ago he was having trouble with because didn't Robert Kennedy Jr. try to fund
Yes.
his. But the university refused it.
Yes, right. Well, I was involved in a case in America. It was an HPV vaccine case, and I was asked to help find research. So I was giving them research, and I got Christopher Exley on board, and it was working with Robert Kennedy Jr.
Oh, that might, yeah, that might, yeah, it was, he's
And
fantastic, another one. I'd love to see
case was
that.
won actually, not by me, because I didn't have any much to do with it. I gave the lawyer all the information I had and papers I had, but it was a fantastic team of lawyers.
Which would have contributed to the outcome of that, though, Christina. Your
Yeah,
research would have
it's very
absolutely
unlikely. A lot of the stuff that I had they already had, but I was
been.
working with Frida Birrell. Remember Frida? She's worked a
Oh,
lot in, she was in Sane Vax, the group Sane Vax.
no. All right. Okay. I know the group saying backs. I don't know the name, Freed. I'm not sure I
Frida
recognize that name.
Birrell worked an awful, well, she's still working an awful lot on HPV vaccine and all the injured
Oh,
girls.
fantastic. That's good to know. I'll have to give you my email address after this, Christina, so you can send me everything if you don't mind.
With Frida, it's a bit difficult. She's just had a stroke, so
No.
she's in hospital. I mean, I haven't spoken, I haven't had much any contact with her now for about 5 months. I'm up to date with what's happening with her because I've got an involved with a friend of hers, but other than that, so I know that it's very unlikely she'll come back and do the work she was doing,
Oh, God
which is
bless
a
her.
shame. I mean, yes, yeah. I can only say what I know. I just know she's very, very poorly, and she certainly. I haven't heard from her personally for about 5 months, and we were in touch all the time because she was supporting and helping me to fund with the operations for my little dog. Because in my spare time, I rescue disabled dogs from abroad, so I've
Oh,
got eight of them. God
God
bless
bless
you.
you. What dogs have you got, Christina?
Oh, they're all mixtures. They're all what I call a bitzers. I've only got one pedigree, and that's a Tibetan Spaniel. But yeah,
Oh,
all the
wow.
rest of them are. But little Arlo is my special little dog. He's very, very special. I started by fostering him. And the rescue phoned me up and said, I'd been talking to them about I was looking for a little dog with. Probably with disabilities, and they had another one there that I was looking at. And she said to me, Ashley, she said, are you interested in this little one? And she said, it's a little Chihuahua cross. And I said, Oh gosh, what's wrong? What's wrong with it then? So I thought, if she's offering it to him, it's going to be something really bad. And it was. It'd been left on a railway line, but he was too deformed. His limbs were all deformed, and he couldn't get off. They did manage to rescue him before a train hit him, fortunately. And I was fostering him for 2 years. But his front legs, he was walking on his elbows and his forearms. And he couldn't stand up properly at all. He was very, very deformed. And I raised £35,000 on the internet on my own with very good people helping me. There were a lot of people, a lot of supporters. Arlo's got a lot of supporters. And he's got his own page on Facebook, Arlo's New Beginnings. And he had both the legs straightened at the front. One was 100% successful. The second leg was successful, but the little bit above it, above where all the plates were, kept breaking, and it was called a non-union. It would not heal, so they had to amputate the leg, which was a great pity. And he couldn't cope on three legs, bless him, because he was had too many problems. And I've managed to get him a prosthetic leg, or it's a leg, but it's got a wheel on the end. And he goes around on a prosthetic leg, which you strap to him, and he runs around like a maniac,
Oh,
doing
bless
zoomies and all
him.
sorts.
I'll be going on our Facebook page now. Arlo's New Beginnings.
Arlo's New Beginning, yeah. And
I'll
that's my
send me
page,
the
my
link.
little dog, and he's absolutely adorable. So pretty. He's actually crossed with a Papillon. So he's Papillon Chihuahua.
Oh, wow.
And
Well,
so you can
I've got
imagine
two
how
naughty Dachshunds
pretty he
here.
is.
You can take two naughty Dachshunds if you want.
Oh, they are naughty. He's naughty. Very, very
Absolute
mouthy. He does
mayhem.
a Chihuahua scream, so we know it's Arlo when he's screaming away.
Oh
But he's
dear.
been very good at the moment. He's sitting on my bed with me.
Aww. Well, Christina, thank you for coming on back on, and it's been so lovely to reconnect again with you. And thank you for all the help like you're giving to Kat and
That's
all the help
okay.
you've given to people over the years. I mean, as I said, you're the only person I go to. You were one of my first guests when I very first started out 14 odd years ago. So thank
Thank
you
you.
for everything you've done. You really are.
Thank you for all your wonderful, wonderful,
Thank
wonderful
you. And just hope
work.
there's hope some people buy the book, because
They will. I'm
it
going to link
helps
it. I'm
Arlo.
going to link it
So
below.
because of the book, help me to help Arlo.
Exactly. They will. They'll absolutely buy it because it's informative, and I'll do another separate video on it myself anyway. So, yes, I will absolutely. I recommend it to everyone, honestly. Like I
Well,
say,
there'll be a link
and
below.
everyone.
There'll be a link below to it. Where else is it other than Amazon? Is it anywhere
It's
else?
on Amazon, yeah. I've got three books, and they're all on Amazon.
Anywhere else? Are they
I
anywhere?
think there's quite a few. In fact, I've seen that Walmart sell my book, Vaccination Policy in the UK Government.
Wow. I'm
Well, they did have it at
really
one
shocked
point.
by
I
that.
was shocked.
I'm
Yeah,
shocked. Wow. Okay.
I was really shocked.
Brilliant. And
Fantastic.
Christina, if people want to have a look, other than the book, is there a website or anything? I mean, you introduced me to what was it? What was the
I have got my own website, Parents and Carers Against Medical Injustice. That's my website, but it's a Weebly.com.
Okay, say that again.
Parents and Carers Against Medical Injustice,
Fantastic.
Weebly.com, at Weebly.com.
Weebly.com. Lovely.
Fantastic. We can put that below as well.
Yeah, we
You can
will.
find it on Google if you type it in. You have to scroll down a bit because they try to hide it.
Yeah, cool.
It's got a lot
Yeah,
of
you're not
medical
going to be on
paper.
the
There's a
top.
lot of stuff on Shaker Baby Skin. Unfortunately, a lot of the links have died, but I can get you the papers if anybody wants them. Don't use the con
Oh, she's gone.
Oh no. Christina?
She might have leant on the mute button or something.
Christina, you might be on mute.
Well, she's not mute here, but I'm thinking on her computer maybe. I don't know. She doesn't say it's on mute. She just vanished. She's still on the call though. Well, it's been lovely talking to her. I knew you'd love her.
Yes. And there's a lot of information I can get from Christina, and she's been a massive help to me in being able to find certain experts in the field that usually I wouldn't trust. You know when I'm like with the medical industry, as Christina does, she knows the actual good ones, the ones who are really out there doing the right thing, doing the thing that they're supposed to be doing. And that has been invaluable the last couple of weeks. So what a wonderful, wonderful woman. I can't wait to, honestly, guys, I'm not just saying it to promote the book because she was a guest. I've read them both. I highly recommend them. Shaken Baby Syndrome or Vaccine-Induced Encephalitis, A Parent Being Falsely Accused. That was by Harold Buttram, who was involved in the Alan Yurko case that I watched my first ever documentary on. And then the second
hardcore,
one.
Hardcore, watching that while you're pregnant.
I
that
know.
Of you. I was
I know.
In.
But if I hadn't, do you know what? I can remember exactly what I was doing, exactly what I was watching and what I was wearing. I was sat on the set. Darren was in the other room, in the workroom, watching the big telly, and it was him who saw it. I was watching EastEnders, playing Sudoku with like a long, like pink nightie with like white hats on it, just clutched up on the. And Darren went, he looked in at me because he could see me through the door, and he went, "We need to." So he started watching it. He said, "We need to watch this together," and he put it on the big telly, and that was the moment my life just spun on his head. But I'm so, so glad, because if that didn't happen at that point, I would have had my flu shot pregnant the next month, mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Timing.
I wasn't awake. Elise had her first MMR. She didn't have the second. And she was only one. She was one of two girls who didn't have the HPV vaccine. All the other girls did. And it was her best friend who didn't, only because I was talking to the mum.
Oh, good. At least you got her not to.
There's only two girls. And I would say Elise came back and there was, I don't know, 30% of the girls who had it off the next day.
Wow.
And Jack never was.
No, they are now, though. They don't,
Jack's never had one.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane. So, guys, check Christina's website out as well, which we'll link in the below. Any last? Obviously, Christina's gone.
Eh? That's one show down. We're going to get ready for the news now. And we'll be back later in the week with another interview.
God bless, guys.
LibertyTactics.co.uk and exposingthelie.info. That's it for now. God bless.
God bless.